Welcome back into the Midday Show here on 92.9 The Game. Andy and Randy. Abe Gordon filling in for Andy Bunker today. He is going to be back. I did see that at the Helene Assist with support now. We got another donation, so we're up above $7,500 now on our way to $10,000, hopefully. And if you want to help out the Haywood Schools Foundation and help out everyone involved there in Western North Carolina, just go to 929thegame.com. You just pop there on the website. There's this big red banner right up top. You can't miss it. Just click on it, and very easy process to help and donate, and certainly we appreciate it. I just heard from Andy because I needed to get a picture for behind-the-scenes stuff here. And
right.
I had joked with him yesterday about, hey, man, like, just send me a picture. I don't know, like, you with a hard hat or anything. He got really excited about the hard hat idea.
It sounds about like Andy.
And I'm like, dude, it's not going to fit your head anyways. Like, what's the difference?
No.
Just give me something.
What'd he do?
He sent me a nice picture of him unloading a big rig.
Okay.
Or maybe he's loading it up. I assume he's coming off. But and no hard hat.
Well, I mean, a hard hat is not something that you toss around lightly, I would not think. But my dude is up there doing some big things, man. I know last week when all this happened, and I just remember him and Mike and the people from sales, you know, he was spearheading this thing, man, because it was very important to him and his wife. And I was sitting here with some of the conversations and everything, and for it to get going as fast as it did, Abe, I think that was the biggest thing. Like, it wasn't a thing where we had to wait him or anybody had to wait our process. It was done the next day. I was here when he was talking to the people about getting this thing started, and it just jumped off. And so I always give my main man credit for spearheading. I know his wife was helping him with all these different things, man, but I'm just so happy for him that, you know, that people were listening, that our listeners do help out and all those different things, and to everybody who's put the word out. I saw the Fox Barbecue, they tweeted something
Fox
and everything.
Brothers,
Fox Brothers, they tweeted something about it. And so just thank you to everybody for all your help, man, and all your selflessness to go out there. And you don't know these people. You probably never met these people, never probably been in that area, but you know how important it is to Andy and his family, how important it is to all of us here at 99 The Game. So, I mean, I know he'll say more, but, I mean, we couldn't ask for enough, man. We do greatly, greatly, like Abe said, appreciate everything that everybody has donated and everything like that.
And the other thing we were talking about kind of off the air is with Hurricane Milton coming through Tampa, it, depending on how bad it gets, it can be so easy to forget what Western North Carolina and Eastern Tennessee and those areas are still going through. Like, just because there's another disaster south of us doesn't mean the one north of us is no longer relevant.
It's going to be there for a while.
That's why it's important for Bunk to get going and get this thing kicked off, because, you know, it's unfortunate in the state of affairs, but out of sight, out of mind. It's kind of the one that's most recent, most lately, is kind of what gets covered, unfortunately. Some big news out of New York. The Jets have fired coach Robert Saleh.
They have the nerve to have that damn traitor fireman on there talking about it. Damn that dude. Damn, because this is why I do believe that you should fan any way you want to. But if you portray yourself as a super fan, then you ain't no walk. That's your team. You got to be there for them. And when they go through hard times, you can't quit them. You got to go through the hard times with your team. And that dork, the fireman guy, quit on the damn Jets. All right, he quit on him. He's supposed to be fan. I've been in that stadium when he gets that damn chant going, Abe. I mean, the whole stadium's quiet. And then he gets revved up and everything. And that's when things were going good. And then it was going bad. He quits the damn team. Dork. I know I shouldn't that, man. Don't keep getting whatever. This was a situation where, now you're telling me another story is coming out that he wasn't Woody Johnson's guy, because Woody, the owner, he was the ambassador and all that other crap that he was doing. It was his son. There's no way in hell that there's a head coach hiring and Woody, he does not make the final call. There's
something
no
tells
way.
Me there was a phone call.
There's
that went
no
on.
Way in hell that man hired Robert Saleh without the approval of his father or whoever the hell it was. Not happening.
I agree.
Not happening. So it's just going to be a whole lot of speculation all day. But the one thing we do know is he's fired. All right?
He gone.
He's fired. And now,
he'll be hired next season.
And he will have a job, maybe not as a head coach, but he will have a job next year in the league somewhere. And now you're like, okay, is it this new coach energy that we talk about with Coach Albrecht? I don't know. I know that a lot of people think highly of him, but as long as Nathaniel Hackett's still the damn head coach, I mean, the offensive coordinator,
we'll see, yeah.
Tell me what's going to be better.
I got nothing for you, man.
Tell me what's going to be better.
Also, not a good opponent in terms of like, improve and take steps forward. Like, the Bills are a tough team.
Yeah, they are. And they're coming off of two straight rough losses, though. I mean, you thought the Ravens and
they played well in those games.
But they didn't play well.
Enough to win. No. I don't know if they.
Josh Allen played like crap last game.
Yeah.
He played like ass.
Well, I mean, the team was in positions to win, though.
To win a game. And then you had the debacle of head coach wanting to throw the damn ball the whole time. But, no, they got Nathaniel Hackett still the offensive coordinator. So, until he's gone, I'm not going to believe they're going to do anything.
I don't blame you. Last night, the Chiefs do win 26-13. That's also going to have an impact on the Atlanta Falcons. We'll tell you why here on the most important story of the day. Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatments for joint pain.
It was awesome. You know, Kurt goes out early, and he fires a dart to Kyle. He does nothing but finish it, catch the ball. And then later on throughout the game, you got a chance to see him get the ball in his hand, run with it a little bit. And that's the Kyle Pitts that we expect. That's the Kyle Pitts that's even got more. And I can't wait to watch him. I can't wait to watch and see where he progresses from here.
Yeah, I saw, you know, we talked earlier, Abe, and we go back to last night game. How Kansas City made it a point to get Travis Kelce the ball early. Get him involved in the flow of the game yesterday, and you saw a lot of that last Thursday with Kyle Pitts. And he's right. You got to figure out a way to get him involved early, you know, because he's a big play waiting to happen. I think that's the big thing with him because of how he stretches the defense and everything and allow him to get going down the field. But, I mean, I'm not naive to think that they're going to throw for 500 yards again. All right?
No.
Not there, but – at the same time, they still got to find a way to be more balanced. They got to figure out a way to run this football. They got to figure out somehow.
Here's the thing, though, Randy. We're dealing with a couple of things that outside variables are not dealing with. And what I mean by that is we're dealing last year with a year where we complained about Bijan Robinson, his touches, and his usage. We're dealing with 2 years before that where we're complaining about Kyle Pitts, his injury, his usage, all that stuff. But you also got to remember you're welcoming in a new quarterback. You're welcoming in a new offensive coordinator. It was always going to take time for this to really gel and hit its stride.
Yes.
But you are 4-2. 3-2?
3.
I'm sorry. I already counted Sunday. Is that my bad?
They better not lose that damn game.
After Sunday, assuming you win, you will be 4-2, which is pretty much where that was pretty close to your best case scenario out of these first six, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean, with the start that you had,
I don't do win loss every week, and I expect them to be somewhere, you know, because there's certain teams I didn't expect to be 1-4. It's just how the
this is where they needed to be.
It's just somehow this is how things go, and we all knew, and I don't want to say we all knew. Some of us here on this show kind of thought it was going to be a slower start than others. How about I say it like that? But now they're in this groove where they're starting to learn. So we're going to have Oboye on Thursday, right? The OC?
I think we're supposed to have Zach Robinson on
Thursday. We're supposed to have the OC on. So he's learning on the job, like you said earlier. He's learning on the job. You're figuring out Kurt. Kurt's getting
remember that pistol shotgun thing way back when?
I'll tell you this. The thing with the you're always comfortable when you're completing passes.
Yeah.
You know, when guys don't complete passes, he's not comfortable with his weapon. So it took 1 week for me to come. No, the play calling was better. The route running was better. The game plan was good. You had a better play call for the defense that they were running. Oh, he's comfortable, obviously. Yeah, his ass is wide open. He better hit him. But I think that when you look at this team, they're only going to get better. I'm not like others, this team is on the rise. They're going to continuously get better. Now, a lot of their games are going to be like those. They're going to be one possession, late score, because you can't stop anybody defensively. You got the bend, but don't break. Now, you can bend all you want to. Just don't give up touchdowns.
Hold the field.
They got to figure out how to get a pass rush going.
Yeah.
Now, I know that, you know, and Ross said this to me and Andy when we had him on a week or so ago. When you're looking at the quarterbacks you're playing, assess to the pressure that you're trying to get. Hard to get running quarterbacks, Jalen, all those different things, Justin Fields. Last week, what did we talk about as far as Baker Mayfield getting the ball out of his hands fast?
Tricky runner. Tricky.
All those different things. So this week, what's going to be the reason why you don't get any sacks?
Well, and it looks like it is going to be Andy Dalton trending that way.
What's going to be the reason why you don't? They have a horrible offensive line. Andy Dalton ain't going nowhere. You can play man-to-man on these receivers. So what will be the excuse this week for this defense not to get sacks?
By the way, their O-line got worse. Center Austin Corbett is going to miss the remainder. This is the Panthers. Going to miss the remainder of the season due to a bicep injury.
Yes.
Right tackle Taylor Moton expected to miss with a tricep injury.
What's going to be the reason why this defensive line should not dominate this game?
I don't want to answer that, man.
Okay.
I want to answer all right. that.
I know it's against the Panthers, but damn, you got 5 sacks.
You got to.
Make it look at the end of this week that you got 10 sacks.
I was going to say, I was told we weren't allowed to talk about sacks until we hit double digits.
I mean, get it to the 10 sack, you know, because you played against a team that is awful. That is awful. And, I mean, Carolina's one of the worst teams I've ever seen. I'm sorry. They are bad.
A couple weeks ago.
They're bad.
Let me ask you just from the offense only side of this for the Falcons, what would you say is their identity?
They don't have one.
Okay. I'm the same way. Yeah. I feel like they're still working and developing
they have a late game.
A little bit of clutchness.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit of clutch. Someone asked me if they were a clutch football team. I said no. I said they're a clutch offensive team. I won't go all the way clutch until I see them have a lead with 2:10 left and need to make a hold. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Like that, I think they're clutch on special teams with Younghoe. I think they're clutch on offense. I won't say they're fully clutch though until the defense has a lead that they need to hold.
We have to get the ball back or stop them.
Exactly. All right. When we come back here on the Midday Show, we are going to welcome in our man, Dog Nation Daily. B.A. is going to join us in just a moment. This hour of the Midday Show is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. Going to talk college football, specifically the Georgia Bulldogs with Brandon Adams next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Midday Show. Andy and Randy here. It's Abe Gordon filling in for Andy Bunker. He'll be back tomorrow and wish him and his wife and the family, I guess the kids and dog are out there as well, safe drive back from the Western North Carolina area after doing a little bit of help out there. This hour of the Midday Show brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. Let's go ahead and head out to the WadeFord.com hotline and welcome in Brandon Adams, host of Dog Nation Daily and UGA Insider at Dog Nation Daily on the social medias. B.A., how are you doing today?
What up, B.? You know, I'm doing well. I'm glad to be with you guys.
It feels like a big change from a week ago, and obviously part of that is Georgia with – albeit some issues against Auburn, but it's still a relatively comfortable win. You pair that, obviously, with Alabama going down to Vanderbilt and maybe a little bit more sun in the sky for dog fans this week.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Georgia is still what it was after the game against Alabama, a team that very much alive and had a chance to accomplish all of its postseason goals, but also an imperfect team that was capable of getting down 28-0 there that day. I do think what has happened around Georgia since then does kind of make you think differently about that, because when Bama loses to Vanderbilt, and when Tennessee, another undefeated team, lose to Arkansas, it does to a degree reset the board, and it does remind you that this is just sort of a crazy, chaotic season, and that, you know, Georgia's loss, as kind of unfortunate as it was if you're a UGA fan, is certainly not unforgivable when you look at what other teams are now going to have to try to overcome. And the fact that Georgia did mostly avoid that drama on Saturday, I think is a little bit, I'm talking about against Auburn, I think that is a little bit of a reminder this team does have the staying power to potentially be in it all the way to the end. Now, when you've got some defensive breakdowns, some missed tackles, when you've got right now kind of a lack of explosive plays on offense, there's also a chance this season won't end in a national title the way that it did in 2021 and 2022. But I do think the chaotic weekend we just saw ought to make Georgia fans pretty plugged in to what the next few weeks could have in store.
Hey, B.A., what did you think about what Kirby said after the game about the home crowd and things like that, as far as, you know, not saying it's a bad crowd, but maybe not the participation. I guess that's what he was looking for on Saturday.
Yeah, Randy, going back to last week, I talked about how if you watched Falcons fans last Thursday, now I don't think that building was full to begin the game, but certainly Falcons fans were celebrating huge when the game was over. And the point that I try to make to my, obviously, mostly college football audience is NFL fans for a long time have made peace with losses. You know, Falcons lost to Pittsburgh, Falcons lost to Kansas City, and yet when you beat Tampa – and you're building like that, that's a pretty big deal. It's a reminder that in the NFL, everybody expects to lose, but how many can you win? and how happy are you going to be when you do win, and what can you do to kind of create an atmosphere for those moments, that college football is now just more like the NFL. And you can't afford to have a real long memory about what didn't go well against Alabama, because, honestly, by the time Georgia plays Texas, if it beats Texas, which I think it very much could, at that point in time, we may not have anybody undefeated in the SEC anymore. And who knows what Oregon, Ohio State, teams like that are doing in the Big Ten, that it's just a season which a lot of teams are going to suffer losses. And so some people are going to cast Kirby's criticism of, well, this is an example that Georgia fans are spoiled now. For me, I think it's a situation where not every Georgia fan has fully made sense of a world in which you just don't have time anymore to kind of, you know, be in too much of a slump based on a loss, or too down in the dumps based on a loss, because everybody's going to lose eventually, probably. And so, therefore, what can you do to give yourself the best chance of winning, which means you got to create the great atmosphere. And I expect Georgia fans to be much better this weekend than Kirby thought they were this past weekend.
Brandon Adams of Dog Nation Daily joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline. B.A., one of the biggest differences for me, and I think it was glaring against Auburn, this is an Auburn team that was happy to hand the ball over, and Georgia was not able to create any turnovers. And I know Kirby Smart has spoken about trying to find ways to do that, but that to me feels like one of the bigger differences in this defense and what we've been seeing in maybe the defense in years past.
Yeah, but the other thing that Kirby also said, and this is probably the thing that I believe the most, which is that, you know, from one week to the next, turnovers can be a little bit of a fickle mistress. In other words, you know, Auburn at some point in time was always, I don't want to say due to, but likely to play a cleaner game from a turnover standpoint. And at that point in time, you're left to tussle with the team that coming into last Saturday was third in the SEC in yards per play, and, you know, third in the SEC in plays of 20 or more yards. Pretty good offensively other than those turnovers. So to me, while I know they missed some tackles, and you are correct to point out they didn't get the benefit of some of the turnovers that Auburn had been giving to other teams, the truth is to kind of find a way to keep Auburn to 13 points, knowing that Auburn did play finally an interception turnover-free game, I think that's mostly good for the Georgia defense. It was certainly not a throwback to 2021. This defense is nowhere near that dynamic. No. But I mean, I thought it was a better game defensively, certainly what they played against Alabama, albeit a very different level of competition. But I thought that Saturday was mostly a step in the right direction for Georgia defensively, although certainly far from perfect.
What did you think? I mean, I know you mentioned it earlier, but I mean, I'm sitting there with my 11-year-old boys like, Daddy, Vanderbilt's about to beat Alabama. I kept saying, there's no way in hell Alabama's going to lose to Vanderbilt. And they do lose to them. What was your initial reaction? Because I know B.A. was talking about it, you know, and I started here at work today, a Georgia fan. Thank God for the Commodores. I was like, well, I'm not built that way to say thank God for another team beating a team that beat mine. But what was your thought process after you saw that after that upset?
Well, I was thrilled by it. I mean, obviously, part of that's because Alabama lost, but also because of just how crazy college football is. And I do think that we're set up for a remainder of the season where crazy stuff like that could happen again. And it's funny, you know, from a point spread standpoint, this is not even the biggest upset of the season. Right. I believe that Northern Illinois over Notre Dame was a bigger point spread upset. But name value upset, Vanderbilt beating Alabama is the biggest possible upset of them all, because of what Alabama has been and what Vanderbilt's been for the entirety of our lifetime here. So it's crazy. It's remarkable. And I'll tell you one thing. I do have to go back to what we talked about last week here on this show, where I said that if I'm watching that Alabama game the game against Georgia, where Bama gave up that big lead, that would not have happened during the Nick Saban era, and it would not surprise me if whatever issues Bama put on display there comes back to haunt them eventually. I didn't think it'd be 1 week later, but that's, you know, kind of the way that worked out. And the other thing here, I'll say this just kind of quickly, is when you look at a guy like Diego Pavia, the quarterback for Vanderbilt, kind of an unknown, unheralded, probably pretty cheap from an NIL standpoint guy from New Mexico State, you know, compare that to what's happening kind of across the state there at Tennessee, where Nico Iamaleva, you know, obviously millions of dollars, big NIL kind of bonus baby. At this point in time, I'm not quite so sure that Vanderbilt doesn't have the better of the two quarterbacks, which is maybe something to keep in mind here. The same way you love an NFL quarterback on a rookie contract, kind of like what Brock Purdy has been, the cheaper option at quarterback for some college football teams may also prove to be the better option as well.
B.A., you mentioned things that come back to bite programs, and the one thing to me that keeps biting Georgia is the slow start, and obviously 28-0 is a slow start of its own discussion, but even against Auburn, you get in a situation, and this was like the last thing Kirby said to the sideline reporter before taking the field to coach was, we need to get off to a better start. That didn't happen. I mean, it's 7-3 with 90 seconds left in that first half. Is this a Carson Beck thing? Is it a Mike Bobo thing? Is there no real specific thing you can address? Why can't Georgia get points up on the board against SEC opponents?
Well, I still don't think Carson Beck's playing his best football. I think eventually maybe that'll come. But I think the real answer to this question may also be somewhat tedious. Right now, Georgia's playing among the slower paced teams in the country. They're like 90-something in the country in plays per game at a time in which the clock is also moving faster than it has before. So you mentioned Saturday. The truth is Georgia scored a touchdown on its opening drive, but it took them forever to do it. They only had the ball, what, four times in the first half? I think they had eight total possessions in the game. Like right now, one of the things that's hurting Georgia is they're not getting a ton of possessions. The clock moves faster than it used to. Georgia's playing slower now than it has in either of the last, you know, three seasons. They're only, you know, getting about 65 plays per game right now. So I do think it's one of those things that strategically Georgia might have to consider at some point, is if you're being limited in your possessions by your preferred pace and by how the clock is kind of moving against you, do you need to play a little faster, hope to create a few more explosives, which can create a few more successful drives? Right now, the kind of untold story for Georgia may be the pace that it's choosing to play at as much as anything involving a Mike Bobo or a Carson Beck, because my guess is the preferred pace is coming from Kirby Smart here. And so at some point in time, Georgia might need to address, do we need to play faster as a way of hoping to get a little bit of a higher-powered offensive performance?
Hey, B.A., we were laughing earlier today, and I was wondering, because we know that the Alabama fans calling Paul Show, and what's his name, Legend or somebody? Have you ever been introduced to the legend of the Georgia fan base?
You know, I don't know who that would be, but obviously one of the things you do love about Georgia fans is you go around, you meet them, you know, so many of them have a story. I mean, I think a lot of the stuff in the Feinbaum show is probably played up for effect sometimes. I don't always love the way in which they kind of exploit some of the callers, to be completely honest with you. But you know, listen, I love Georgia fans, and I love the passion they show. And obviously, when Georgia loses, they're, you know, going to be fired up about that. When Georgia wins, they're going to be fired up about that there as well. And, you know, I think it is a lot of fun to see some people see Alabama fans have to kind of take their medicine a little bit. After all the stuff they said for such a long time, I do certainly get where the interest in that comes from.
B.A., final question for me. It's Brandon Adams of Dog Nation Daily. Just as we look ahead to Mississippi State here, who are we getting back? I know Smile Mundin was out, and there are a couple other players out last week. Who might be able to make a return this week?
So I have a theory about something. I don't know if this is true, but this is my theory. Kirby's going to speak to the media again tonight. Y'all watch and see if you have a chance to pay attention to it. Of course, we'll have it on our Dog Nation YouTube page. I think now that Kirby has to do the availability reports, he's now saying less than nothing about injuries. Yeah, he was asked about this yesterday, and, like, I mean, he barely even grunted out an answer. And I guess he's well within his rights to do this, but it used to be Kirby would give you a little bit, even if it was we're hopeful to get him back. Now he's not even hardly saying that anymore. So I think now that he's kind of forced to do the availability report, and my understanding is for that last one, if you don't tell the truth, they will fine you. Now that he's kind of forced to do that, I think that he's saying less than nothing about injuries. But yeah, obviously in the case of Mondin, it seems like that's a lingering foot thing, and they've obviously got their things they're dealing with. But I do think it's been kind of interesting. They've used the availability report pretty well this year. So we may have to wait till Wednesday to start finding out about some of this kind of stuff.
All right, man. I mean, Kirby will try to find a way, because either if there's a way where you got to leak as least amount of information as possible, he's going to try to do that.
That's right. That's right, for sure.
B.A., appreciate your time as always.
Good to be with you guys. Thanks a lot.
There it is. Gracious. Brandon Adams of Dog Nation
Daily. They just showed the damn Florida Panthers championship ring.
I saw that earlier. Gracious. It is sharp.
That is sharp as hell. God,
I didn't get, I don't really care, because, like, telling me it's this many diamonds or ruby, like, none of that ever matters to me. It looks sharp.
That's a nice looking ring. Yeah. That's a very, very nice ring.
I
never, never really cared about the hockey rings, but since the squad that I root for got one.
You know who's big into championship rings? Fake ones? My dad.
Why? Wow.
He's got boxes of them. Just replica championship
rings. Oh, really? Mr. G, nothing surprised me anymore about Mr. G. Nothing at all.
I ran about a mile with him this morning. We crossed paths on our morning run, and he was wearing a shirt from like his 1976 City Mile champion.
Again, nothing surprises me. Nothing would surprise me.
All right, when we come back, it is time for the midday AMA. Any topic, any question, dial us up. 404-726-0929. The midday AMA comes up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The Midday AMA brought to you by Right From The Heart, rightfromtheheart.org. A couple phone lines open there if you want to get involved. 404-726-0929. Any topic, any question, and we will answer it for you. We're going to get started today with BJ out in Gwinnett. What's up, BJ?
Hey, how y'all gentlemen doing today?
Good.
What's up, BJ?
Good. Well, a question here. Just want to get you guys' thoughts about it. You know, with NIL and the transfer portal, I know a lot of people made a big deal about it, saying it was going to be bad for college football, and, you know, they didn't like it. With that being said, with all of the upsets that we've been having for the past 2 years now, do you think it's actually the NIL and the transfer portal is actually good for college football? Because I think it is making it a level playing field now, where the heavy top 10, you know, the big teams are not winning as easily anymore. So I just want to get you guys' thoughts about that.
I appreciate it, BJ. I don't think it's personally playing a difference in the play, and because I think the contenders are going to be the contenders regardless. That's just my thought process on it. I just saw something that On3 who was run by a guy, Rusty, was putting out about they have an NIL evaluation now that they do when they're basically putting these kids 5-4 stars and everything like that. I just don't think that, you know, if you load, say you go load up Missouri or something, you know, I don't know if they're still going to be able to go get that win. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I don't think the NIL has as much to do with it. I think transfer portal a little bit, because you could fill holes.
You can fill holes.
You could fill holes. But I would also say, like you said, the teams that win every year in recruiting,
yes,
are still going to be the teams that you see. Yes. Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State,
yes,
Texas. Those are still going to be the teams competing for national championships. I don't think the transfer portal is ever going to overtake the ability to recruit and develop.
I'm with
that makes sense. Yeah,
I'm with
Randy is in Atlanta. What's up, Randy?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man.
Yeah, I was calling in. I was looking at.
Uh oh.
He was looking at something.
There he is. Start over here.
I was looking at the game last night, and I was just putting myself in position like a football player. My question to you, Randy: do you ever like go into the, you know, into your tight end meeting or wherever after watching the game like last night? You know, like, can this dude, I'm going to play this dude this way, and then once you just walk through with your tight end coach, have you ever had a coach where you input that, he tells you, you know, nah, we're going to do it this way, Randy, and for Abe, have you ever had street talk? I'm going to list up, hang up a list. Appreciate
it. You ever had what?
I think he asked if I've ever had street corn.
Oh, we're talking about the one on the stick with the mayonnaise on it?
I think there's a variety of differences.
Is that the one I'm thinking
about? Yeah, that's it, though.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I'm thinking about?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Street corn, delicious.
Oh, my wife eats. I'm not a big fan of it.
Corn on a cob on a stick.
Yeah, yeah. My wife likes it. I didn't get the question about the tight end. Have I ever went into a game?
It sounded like he was asking if you wanted to play defense and attack them a certain way, and the coach said we're going to attack them a different way.
No. I mean, I've always
had part of the game plan, right?
Yeah, but I've always been able to, if I see something, get my opinions across. Because a lot of times it was right.
How much does a game plan change in the moment based on info coming from the players to the coach?
You'd be amazed how much things are scrapped at halftime.
I don't think I would be.
Halftime or on the sideline after a drive where they're doing something completely different from what we thought they were going to do, and then we just make adjustments. So it happens all the time.
Yeah, that actually makes more sense to me. If I were a coach, I'd be too, player-friendly.
Yeah.
I think.
What you see.
I'd be doing that. You tell me what works, man. Yeah. I don't know. I don't figure this out.
What you see.
We got Derek in Charlotte. What's up, Derek?
What's up, brother? Shout out to my boys listening to Tucker, Georgia. They always listen to me. I wanted to ask you a question. Cam Ward is number one in the Heisman vote, and he put on a hell of a performance over the weekend. And, Randy, I want to ask you a question. If you was an NIL, what would you have gotten if you were still an NIL, if you was there? Thank you.
What have I gotten? I was far as stuff? I mean, I thought my priority is always take care of my mom and my family.
All right, let's start here.
Yeah.
So I have some follow-ups to his question.
I got a little Pell Grant money. That Pell Grant money went to the family.
Let's go this way. At the time,
yeah.
What would have been your car of choice? Let's say a dealer got all of them out there. What would have been your
–
SUV?
I wanted the Act Legend. That was a hot car then, the Act Legend.
And then if you were going to attach yourself to any food – based NIL opportunity.
I told you, man. Big chick.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, we were talking about that big chick.
And then
our bags are the greasiest.
100 grand a year gets it done for you?
Oh, yeah. Man, you gave me 100 grand a year back then, dude. We could do some things, man.
I don't think Cam Ward is the leader. I don't care what the odds say.
I still think Travis Hunter is.
Exactly right.
Yep.
It is Travis Hunter's award to lose.
I don't think it's his. I hate that word.
I'll go as far as to say if he's healthy, he needs to be the winner.
Yeah, I don't like that.
If he stays healthy the whole year, he needs to win.
What if he doesn't get an interception?
Fine. Like that, he's still the best player in football.
I think he's the best player in football, too, but still. You know how this quarterback crap is.
I know. And I don't normally fight against it as strongly as I'm going to fight against it this year because I think there's a massive gap between Travis Hunter and everyone else. 404-726-0929 if you want to get involved here with the Midday AMA. Any question? Any topic for you? We got Jacob in Johns Creek. What's up, Jacob?
Hey, guys. Love your show. Repeat caller. First time I'm ever getting to talk to Abe. Shout out to about you, sir.
Thank you.
My question is really, it's one question, but it's really eight questions. And I totally understand the overtime rule in the regular season. I'm glad that the Falcons were able to win because of it. But I don't understand, number one, why there are different rules in playoffs and in regular season. And I would think that the NFL would want a level, equal, fair playing field for the game. Why does the other team not get a chance to have the ball?
I think they're trying to limit, and I think they've always tried to limit how much physicality goes on in the games, which is why
don't say nothing about physicality or player safety when you answer this question, okay?
Well, I'm saying it's tough to justify because you keep adding games.
If they gave a damn about it, then you wouldn't have Thursday night games and all of the crap.
Right.
So don't ever bring player safety and hitting into anything. I don't damn know. I know why they don't have it in the playoff because they don't want to have ties and all that other crap like that. Again, I never understood why they changed the rule in the first place because it's still one of those things where if you get the ball first, you go score, you win the game anyway. Let both teams have a chance with the ball. Period.
So you would like the overtime rules?
Let both teams.
Or excuse me, the playoff rules.
I've always said that. Okay. Let both teams get a chance to get the ball.
I mean, I don't have a problem with that. It did benefit the Falcons. I will say,
it did benefit the Falcons. Hell yeah, it did.
But I don't have a problem with that either.
I'd be
totally open to that as well. Let's see. We got Justin in West Georgia. What's up, Justin?
Hey, what's going on, guys? This question is for Randy. Recently, I'm a first time high school football head coach. In a small town, and you being someone who grew up in a small town, I'm just curious, what kind of things that the people do for you in the community? Because out here, when me and my family go out to eat, we don't pay for nothing. They taking care of me good out here. So I'm just wondering, being from a small town, being highly recruited, did you have any good experiences of people in the community taking care of you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the people down in Fort Valley, they were awesome, man. They really, really were. My story, how I pretty much stayed by myself down there, lived in a boarding home, during the week and everything like that, because my mother had moved back to Virginia, and I was pretty much down there you know, from my 11th grade until I graduated. And so the community rallied around, especially I always give a shout out to the Fluellen family, Graham and Harold and Tangie and my brother Tobias and his family. They, you know, they took care of me on the weekends and stuff like that. But the overall community, because they knew, you know, my situation has been on my own. So I was able to, you know, get some benefits from that. So, yeah, I understand the small town love that you get in those towns, especially when you're a ball player. So, yeah, I had a great time, great support from the people down in Peach County.
There you go. We'll get to takeaways in just one moment. But just a reminder, you can help out Andy Bunker and 92.9 The Game with the Helene Assist. Go to supportnow.org/the Helene Assist, or it's just right on the homepage of 92.9thegame.com. Just a big red banner right at the top above all the articles, above all the pictures. You can see it right there. It says, click here to contribute to the Helene Assist, benefiting Florida, flooding victims in North Carolina. And also, just before we get to takeaways, best wishes with everyone down in Tampa with man. Milton approaching as well. I know you guys will talk more about that tomorrow, but I'll be on the other side, so there's that. All right, let's go ahead and get to it. Takeaways.
Well, this was a weird one. Abe hated missing P.E., which is the reason why he didn't go on field goals, because he hated missing P.E.
Didn't like the field trips, man. I wanted to get after it at P.I. For realsies is not a Randy-approved expression.
It's not even that. It's definitely just not. That I had to make sure that you said it. For realsies. Like, that sounds like...
Never Can mind. We start the petition to get P.E. back in school every day, by the way?
Is it not? I don't...
No, it's a special.
Yes. I haven't been in school for a while.
I cannot stand that.
It is a special.
Anywho... Robert Saleh gets hard face when asked about Aaron Rodgers.
Dude, look at his face. Look at his face. That is a face of a man who does not like the person they're talking about. There's 100%. No way. That face
gets
hard as
hell. He wears a mouth guard when he does interviews because of that. He's gripping on them teeth.
I bet he grinds the hell out of his teeth, man.
All right, when we come back, we'll see what Dukes and Bell got going on. Sorry, I was thinking about some bad PE thoughts, but I'll bring that up in the break. That's all right. Coming up next on the Midday Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.